All right, y'all, hour two. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course, simulcast on ESPN News. I'm filling in for Jason Fitz. My name is Clinton Yates. I'm a columnist at The Undefeated. You perhaps have seen me on Around the Horn, or Now or Never, or back in the day, on Outside the Lines. That was fun, too. I'm out here, though. Happy to be with you on a Friday. The show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And, of course, all guests on the program appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You want to tweet me? Take your chances. At Clinton Yates. Of course, give me a phone call. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. 1-888-729-3776. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. All right, y'all. For those of you just tuning in, I'm Clinton Yates. I'm from D.C. I'm a big-time sports fan. I used to be in a family that had season tickets to Washington's football team. I have been to many a football game to cheer them on. I, however, also don't use that word. And in the last 3 days, we've seen a lot of changes on that front. First of all, we saw FedEx, the sponsor of the stadium, publicly say that they've asked the team to discuss this name. That's money, y'all. That's real money. That's not a poll in a newspaper. That's not a protest of people standing outside a stadium. That's nothing like that. That's real dollars, which is what talks to the NFL. Secondarily, we saw Nike apparently pull down all of the apparel from the team for sale from their site. An even bigger money situation, which is borderline amazing. Now, I'm not going to say that this necessarily means this is happening tomorrow. Some people believe that, and we'll get to that in a second. But I'm telling you, as somebody that has lived, cared, and reported on this matter for the better part of a decade plus, dog, this feels different. It feels like something that finally has some teeth because people are just looking around saying, yeah, no, we can't have this. Come on, y'all. What are we looking at here? Really? That name? That's what we're doing in 2020? Seriously? 1-888-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Here's Stephen A., who has some breaking news this morning about what could happen with this name, and soon.
I got information from a very, very reliable source. Daniel Snyder will change the name of the Washington Redskins. It is going to happen.
Wow, any timeline on that?
It's going to happen. How soon? I do not have a timeline on that, but as I predicted, it would be before the season. It will be before the season. I'm told from a very reliable source, the name will of the Washington Redskins will be changed.
That is
fantastic. Huge and amazing news.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's surprised on that. That is shocking that it happened so quickly, but times are changing. It's a lot of pressure on everybody, and now the next step is we got to figure out what the name is going to be. So I'm sure, Stephen A., since you got all the insight, you can make some suggestions at some point.
Have they tossed around any
options? I'll take them from Lewin Lewis. How am I? I don't know.
Look, I think what we've been talking about all morning long is, look, money talks, man. Mm-hmm. There's some very, very powerful individuals who, like, I mean, just think about this for a minute. Think about $620 billion worth of assets. I mean, think about that number. That number is staggering. That's the power with which people came with to these companies like FedEx and Nike. That's and Pepsi. That's the power that they came with and said, make this happen. Make the call now. It's bad for business, man. You cannot be a racist and have that kind of mascot in today's environment. It will be detrimental to your business in ways, I'm sure, in which they have never, ever seen. You have no choice. It's as simple as that. But the people I've talked to, they said he has no choice. End of story.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that in this situation, it's the money that talks and moves this. But I do find it interesting that it's capitalism in this situation that is kind of pushing in the direction of addressing injustice when traditionally I'm not sure that anybody would suggest that has been the impact of capitalism on a society. It seems to exasperate inequality rather than address it. So I guess that's the tools that we have, and it's the tools that we use. But I'm not sure what the future holds for for that team as far as names and what they're going to do going forward. But I think it's probably going to be a boon to the league and a boon to this local economy and a boon to that team getting off of that that logo, which is offensive, and that name, which is offensive, and moving towards some new situation. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can turn it around before the season starts, because I suspect that they're not going to send them out there without a name, or certainly not with that name.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, discussing the Washington NFL franchise. You want to tweet me, at Clinton Yates. My mentions are out of control with bird brains telling me all sorts of nonsense. We'll get to that later. But some of y'all have enough courage to call, and I appreciate you. I'm Clinton Yates, in for Jason Fitz today. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Ravi in Maryland. I'll hit you up because you're apparently from the area. What's going on today?
Yeah, I'm grew up in College Park, Maryland, in PG, like, what, 15 minutes outside D.C., five minutes downstream from FedEx. I'm in Seattle now. But I'm going to take a little different take on this. So Dan Snyder's got – I think he's got a way he can actually win somehow in this, and I'm sure his team has told him that whatever the name changes – hopefully it's a good name or whatever, the merch is going to be insane. He's going to make an insane amount of money with that. And it's going to skyrocket. Everybody's going to be on. He's going to make a ton of money in that. And I'm going to take it one step further. Can you even imagine if he were to sign Cap just for a one-year deal? Those sales for that jersey alone are going to go through the roof. And that's the only way you can actually relate to him, to try to see where he's coming from or whatnot. We know it's not from a good place. So you got to talk money talk with him. But if he can do those things like that, I'm sure that's what his team said. And that's why he's like, hey, you're going to make a hell of a lot of money if you just go this way. Because he's going to obviously lose a lot. What was it, $600 billion, right?
Right.
Yeah. All so, right. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. The merch will be insane. Hopefully they can think of a good name. I'm not a Skins fan. I grew up a 49ers fan. And, of course, I'm in Seattle now. So I feel like I'm in hell. But yeah,
okay. Thanks for the phone call, Robbie. I appreciate it. He makes a good point, though. You know, there are positives if you want to say that. I'm not saying that we can relate to Dan Snyder about money. This is the kind of dude that chops down trees that are not supposed to be chopped down on his own property just so we can look at his lake better. You know, this is a dude who has put grandmas in a bankruptcy over their inability to pay for season tickets, who've been season ticket holders for 30 years. Ain't no sympathy coming from me about his relationship with money. But I can tell you that if he changed the daggone name, I might buy me a jersey or a shirt or a hat. And I ain't done that in a while. That's for sure. And I don't need that. But that's a side bonus. Absolutely. Rocking the gear is part of the reason why people like teams. There's a direct correlation between that. Why do you think all that burgundy and gold gear sells so much in D.C.? That's like off-market, non-team stuff. Because people feel they want to rep something they care about. But if the thing that they care about is ultimately disrespectful to such a large group of people, it becomes hard. And the whole point is that in 2020, it becomes unnecessary as well. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Dave in California, what up?
Hey, man, what's up?
I'm well. You're on the air.
Well, I wanted to talk about the changing of the Redskins name. It may be good, it may be bad, but what are we supposed to do now? Go through across the country and sweep, say, little leagues, high schools, colleges, and change all their names also?
Let me give you the short answer, or you want the long answer?
Let me give you some examples, and maybe you can comment on those, sir. How about the Tennessee Volunteers? We're changing that. The Yankees, the Running Rebels, the Blackhawks. You know, are we going to now change the 49ers because they might get offended? What about the Dolphins? Let's think about them. Everybody's so offended these days. It's ridiculous.
Hold on. The Dolphins?
Wait. One other thing. Well, you never know. Everybody's offended these days about everything.
Have you talked to a dolphin recently?
No, but maybe you can try. But I'm just trying to make a point, sir. All right. So you never know who you're going to offend. So let's lighten up a little bit. Another point I want to make. Somehow, different races separate themselves. Let me tell you how that is. Why is it fair or right to have the Black Entertainment Awards?
Okay, thanks for the phone call. You're way off topic and you're not making any sense. Don't ask me about the Dolphins, okay? There's a direct line between, again, portrayal, privilege, power, and poverty. All of this stuff is related. It's not just about offending people or not. Dolphins rights. Ace Ventura calling the show? Do you know the dolphin? Do you have a dolphin? Great movie, by the way. Dolphins rights. Get out of here. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. First take your take on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's home quote explorer, quote and buy, all online at progressive.com. I'm Clinton Yates from The Undefeated. You've seen your boy around the horn, now or never, OTL. Jake in Ohio, you're on the air.
Oh man, hey, it's a pleasure for you to take my call, man. I really appreciate it. The main line, the bottom line, man, is that there's nothing, back to your point, there's nothing to hold on to, okay? I mean, if you're a Redskins fan, die hard, there's nothing you're holding on to. Back then, you know, if you're a Joe Theismann fan or whatever, and you're one of his fans, there's nothing you're holding on to. It's racist. Live in the future, man. Why doesn't everyone just live in the future? And there's so much oppression going on in this world, and it's so sad. And everyone just needs to change, accept change. And if the Washington changes their team, I'm glad. I'll support them. You know, I mean, there's nothing to hold on to there. It's all racist. It's all BS, you know. And the dude calling about the Dolphins, it makes no sense, man. It makes no sense. So I'm glad you're able to take my call, and there's nothing to hold on to. If you're, you know, I'm not going to say their name, but, you know, the Washington fans, it's all racist. And systemic racism, there's no place for it in today's society.
I mean, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it, brother. I mean, that's just what it comes down to me. I'd like to think that on some parts of my life, I know right from wrong. This is one of them. This is not that difficult. Not to me. First take, your take. I'm Clinton Yates from The Undefeated. You can join the conversation. We'll get back to some other stuff later. But right now, hey, by the way, are you missing baseball? Tune in tonight for an MLB Classic doubleheader. Game 3 of the 2018 World Series and Game 4 of the 2013 World Series. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Right now, going to switch gears a little bit. Head down to my hometown. Talk a little hoops. Jeff Borzello, ESPN college basketball reporter, joins us right now. We're going to talk about college basketball, as I just said. Jeff, let me ask you something. How many people do you think actually thought this was going to happen the way that it did?
I wrote a story about this a couple of weeks ago, and you know, the common response I got, you know, from coaches and players, and you know, was, is this going to happen? Is anybody actually going to be the first to who's the first five-star kid that's going to commit to an HBCU? Is this going to happen at all?
Right.
And just most people just doubted it. Even the coaches I spoke to in the piece said, you know, I'm kind of going kind of one foot in the water here. I'm not jumping in both feet because I don't want to waste my time and, you know, waste 2 years recruiting a kid who's just using us, to drum up, you know, social media presence. And then he's going to end up committing to, you know, Kentucky, UCLA, wherever. So there was a lot of kind of trepidation on the part of even the HBCU coaches recruiting these kids.
McCormaker, he decided he wants to go to Howard University in the capital of the United States of America, my hometown, and also, personally, my dad's alma mater. So I'm interested in this from a couple of different reasons. But one of the other things is this. There's always the discussion about, you know, facilities versus experience versus exposure. You know, in your opinion, how overblown do you think that is? My personal one happens to be that coaching is what really matters in terms of ability to play, ability to grow, and so forth. But all these other things do matter to kids, and I just wonder whether or not this is a move that will allow people to believe that perhaps that gulf in experience is a little bit overblown, or is that off base?
No, I mean, there's clearly a gap. I mean, I spoke to a few players who played both at the high major level and transferred to the MEAC or the SWAC, and they said, yeah, there's obviously a gap in the facilities. I mean, high majors have, you know, the court that you play on, the court you practice on, another gym just to kind of get shots up. And, you know, a lot of HBCUs are sharing their gym with the volleyball team, the women's basketball team, something like that. So there is a gap. But in terms of exposure, I mean, scouts can get in anywhere they want to watch a player. I mean, we, you know, at least two lottery picks in this year's draft are going to be played in Australia last year. I mean, scouts can go where the talent is. I don't think that's much of an issue. And a lot of these kids, or a lot of these HBCUs at least, they play some of the toughest non-conference schedules in the country. I mean, it's a lot of bye games. They're never playing at home. They're playing against, you know, Power 5 teams night in, night out. And so, you know, if the concern on a recruit standpoint is saying, I'm not going to play against the best players, you are. I mean, you're not going to play them in January and February, but you're going to play them in November and December. So I do think that some of the – I guess there are some misconceptions about kind of the quality of a competition you're facing and things like that. And in terms of facilities, you know, it kind of is what you make it. I mean, if you want to get shots up at 2 in the morning, you know, you can do that at Howard the same way you can do that at UNC. And so it's kind of up to you in terms of how much you're going to make out of the facility. So I do think obviously there's a gap just because there's a money gap. There's a, you know, there's the money that Nike gives LSU is not the same as it gives to, you know, an HBCU. That's obvious. But
right.
I do think there are a lot of misconceptions about, you know, what you can achieve by playing sports at an HBCU.
Jeff Borzello, ESPN college basketball reporter, joins us here talking about McCormick and Howard University on First Take, Your Take. I'm Clint Yates. Look, I mean, the other question here is kind of an obvious one, and I don't necessarily need to press you on your scout skills, but I would like to know what you've heard. How good is this kid? You know, how much of a difference is this going to make just in terms of what we look at from a basketball standpoint when he steps on the floor?
He's good. I mean, he's not a finished product yet. I mean, he's got a long way to go, but you know, at the end of the day, he's 6'11". He can handle a little bit. He can shoot it a little bit. He's not as good as Thon Maker, his older cousin, is. And, you know, Thon's not really, you know, taking the NBA by storm. But, you know, there are some similarities just in terms of size and you know, potential skill set. So he's got a lot of ability. You know, he showed flashes on the AAU circuit last spring and summer. He kind of bounced around to a couple of different high schools this year. So there was not really enough consistency in terms of evaluating him. But you know, he can block shots. He's really efficient around the rim. And so he should be able to make an immediate impact at Howard. You know, the one issue would be that Howard was very, very bad last year.
Right.
You know, they were 4-29. I think they won, you know, three games against D1 opponents. So I don't know if he's going to kind of take them to the top of the league, you know, I'm assuming he's going to be one and done. I don't think he's going to take them to the top of the league right away, but you know, I do think he should kind of get them in competition. He's going to be the best player or, you know, the most talented player on the court every single night. And, you know, when we get to conference tournament time, that's going to make a difference.
He's Jeff Borzello, ESPN college basketball reporter. Thank you for your time, Jeff.
Thank you.
No doubt. I mean, it's an interesting discussion. You know, black folks going to black schools for less so-called flash. Does that mean more people go to black schools and thus sort of revitalize what it is of HBCU basketball in general? It's an interesting question. Let's hear what Stephen A. Smith had to say on the matter. He talks about how going to Howard could have a huge financial ramification on HBCUs. He should know he went to and played for one.
I think it's an incredibly big move. It's very, very significant. First of all, Howard University is one of the elite HBCUs in this nation. Make no mistake about it. Just look at the laundry list of people that went to that institution, and you know what they're all about. But secondly, and more importantly, you got a marquee athlete that's willing to go to an HBCU at a time when HBCUs need their profiles highlighted. They need it elevated. And when you bring an athlete like this, who knows that whether or not other athletes are going to follow? We're clearly living in a different time. You have people having a conversation about whether not integration has even worked for us. You know, celebrating the 100-year, the centennial anniversary of the Negro Leagues. If they had not integrated, what would baseball be like today? What would the Negro Leagues have been? People are asking these questions and having these conversations in the black community, as you well know, Ryan. And so because of that being the reality, the fact that you have the HBCUs as the subject matter that we're discussing right now, you've got a marquee prep athlete that's willing to go to a HBCU instead of a big-time university like Duke or Kentucky or something else. Who knows if other athletes won't choose to follow? And if they choose to follow, that's going to further highlight the profile of HBCUs. It's going to put them in the limelight. Who knows? Television contracts and things of that nature may come on as a result. And ultimately, HBCU's profile will elevate exponentially. It'll be more attractive to African Americans throughout this nation. And when you consider the sport of basketball is what we're talking about here, where the NBA is over 70% black, that's going to get scouts and everybody else coming to HBCU programs to see these guys play, and that will generate additional interest as well. So it's an incredible thing that Maker has elected to do. Howard benefits tremendously because of it, but all of HBCUs benefit because of this. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing that just happened.
Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Coming up, we're going to take more of your calls. Hit us up on 888-SAY-ESPN. Got to talk about Daniel M. Snyder. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course, simulcast on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. My name is Clinton Yates, filling in for Jason Fitz here on a Friday, talking about the Washington football franchise, and one of the people who covers that team and has for many years, who I've known, you know, is Brown is the guy who, you know, basically just, I don't know. When it comes to this football team and when it comes to reporting, I think about Mike Jones, USA Today NFL reporter, and of course, of the Football Jones podcast. He joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike, what up today, player?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. So look, I was talking to Jay Reid earlier, and one of the things I asked him, I said, you guys have been around this game and this team for a while. Just how shocking is it to you that we're at this point in terms of money-making entities actually talking about and to this team about changing the name?
Well, this is something that we knew that this was the only way that Daniel Snyder was going to change the name, even consider it. It was several years ago that he had dug in and said, I will never change the name, and you can use that in all caps, never. And we knew that it didn't matter how many media types said that it needed to be changed. It didn't matter how many Native American groups said it needed to be changed. I mean, even President Obama in 2015 said that he felt like the name needed to be changed, and that's when Snyder came back saying he would never change it. But we knew it was going to have to take corporate sponsors like FedEx, or now we see Nike or Pepsi, those guys who really have a financial impact on the team, for Snyder to consider it. And now that FedEx yesterday issued their statement, and their chairman has a minority stake in the team. And with them saying it, the pressure is on, and the announcement today that they're conducting a review. But from everything I've gathered and talking to people that are familiar with Snyder's thinking, they said, quote, it's over.
Wow. Mike Jones, USA Today NFL reporter, joins us. If I may, what does this review entail as far as you know? Because I feel like a lot of people see that and say, review? What's the review? We've been reviewing this for 20 years. What's going on there, and how does that actually break down in terms of a procedure for these particular parties?
Yeah, I think that was just kind of how they coined it in their statement to you know, dress it up a little bit. They said in that statement that they were talking to the league, they were talking to the community, they were talking to members of their alumni association, they were talking to members of the military. I don't know what they think that they're going to hear from them, but again, they know that if your two biggest corporate sponsors are saying you need to change the name, and you have the District of Columbia saying, yeah, we know you want a stadium here in 2025, and we're not going to give you a stadium if you don't change the name, then, you know, the review is almost kind of like a fancy way of saying, yeah, we're getting our ducks in a row and doing what we have to do to set this move in place.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, one of the other people involved in this, of course, is head coach Ron Rivera, who was recently just hired, and kind of, like I said, his response to this question before was what the opposite of chicken salad is in terms of taking a stance. Do you think that his inability to communicate what he feels about this, or whatever contract clause he has that doesn't allow him to discuss the matter, is going to actually affect the football? Because he's a new coach, and this is something that in 2020 we've seen athletes speak up about a lot of things. Do you think this has a serious on-field effect, never mind what it has as far as people and fans are concerned?
I don't think so. Just from talking to people who are familiar with him, they say, look, he's an old school guy. He doesn't talk about issues. He's not comfortable doing so. And it kind of, they felt like he was kind of caught off guard with that. And so he kind of wished he had come out with a better answer than that. But at the time, he was trying to play it as safe as possible. You know, but I know that in a locker room, talking to guys, and leading his coaching staff, because that's something that people say that he's the best at, is delegating and inspiring his coaches and planning and things like that. Nobody that I've talked to has any concern about that. But this just goes to show that he was put in a bad situation because Dan Snyder always tries to hide behind somebody. It was Bruce Allen for the longest time, whether it's a coach, as we're seeing right now. We haven't heard from Dan Snyder a whole lot. And unfortunately, if you work for them, you are going to be the one that's put in position because Snyder doesn't like speaking.
Yeah. All right. He's Mike Jones, USA Today NFL reporter. Thank you, Mike. Stay safe out there.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. You're listening to First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. By the by, if you're missing baseball, tune in tomorrow night for an MLB Classic doubleheader, Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, and Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let's get back to these calls, y'all, because we got more to talk about. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Michael in Michigan, what's up?
Hi.
Oh, hey, you're on the air, buddy.
So I am not sure why people think that name glorifies the heritage of the American. It doesn't. In fact, we recently had like two high school teams here change their name from that name. Hmm.
Was that a situation where the city voted on it, or was that a scenario where basically somebody said something had to change?
It was kind of like a like both. There's like two cities are like, oh, we can't have that name because it's of the connotation.
All right, thanks for the phone call. Might want to figure out your windscreen situation. I appreciate you tuning in. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Sam in Ohio, talk to me.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I appreciate you having me on. And I guess I would be curious, you know, everyone's talking about the Redskins. They've been talking about it for 20 years. But any other issue NFL-related, Roger Goodell will generally put his two cents in. He ultimately has control as the commissioner of the NFL. Why is he not, you know, saying, hey, this is racist, it's not racist? Why is he not the judge on this thing? Why is it
thanks
up to
the phone
public?
Call. Roger Goodell, it's not up to the public. That's not what's happening here. Roger Goodell represents the 32 NFL owners. That's who he represents. He is, in some ways, the fulcrum of authority, but he is not when it comes to what the controlling interest of their dollars are. He simply represents them. That's why when you see people protesting against the league and when you see the players themselves making videos, Roger Goodell is the one who comes out and falls on the sword for the shield in his basement talking about, I'm sorry, but yet at the same time not mentioning Colin Kaepernick's name. All right, he's not necessarily judge and jury in this scenario. I think that Roger Goodell is in a position where he's going to probably end up having to say this, and certainly it's not going to be Daniel M. Snyder who decides to change this name under his own condition. But I don't think this is a scenario where we need Goodell just jumping out there to say something off the rip, because the first thing he says is probably going to be the most important thing he says about all of this. That's something to keep in mind. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. James in Seattle, make me laugh.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Yeah, so this is Jonathan in Arizona. Can you hear me okay?
My bad. Jonathan in Arizona, I apologize. I can hear you. Go ahead.
No worries. So I just want to point out, I'm actually half Native Hopi Tewa and half Jew. And I wrote a letter to Mr. Snyder right after the BLM movement really got going, and I wanted to make the point to him a couple things. One, the reason why, you know, people say that the name is acceptable to Native people, that they don't hear an outcry, is just because, honestly, there aren't many Native people have so much else on their plate. They suffer more by all indicators than proportionately than any other group in the United States. A racist mascot name is like not high on their list to make a big deal about. Also, there just aren't a lot of us left. And that's because we've been systematically being eliminated from genocide for centuries now. That's why you're not getting the pushback that you would from any other group in this country. And the other thing I pointed out to Mr. Snyder is because I actually, you know, half my family is on the reservation and half my family actually, you know, are Jewish. The fact that you have a member of the Jewish community supporting something, you know, that is rooted in genocide is doubly disheartening. It's for him to not understand that and see that is even more painful. So,
thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I mean, I think he's exactly right, and I'm only cutting there so we can move on to the next call. But he makes the exact point. This is not something that people should have to spend all their time to defend in order for you to believe that it's harmful. Just take a look at the state of affairs with Native people in this country, and clearly there's a problem. This doesn't take a degree in political science or history or geography to know. Trust me, I ain't got none of those. But I live in the world and I understand what happens. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Steve in Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I am calling today to congratulate Daniel Snyder for finally sealing his fate. No, I don't care what. He went 10 Super Bowls for Washington. He's forever sealed his fate as somebody who is closed-minded and ignorant, and he's an elitist POS who doesn't care about things other than what he has in his own mind. He's an elitist. And it's people like him that have kept things on the bad side instead of on the good side, like we're finally moving now. He's had so many chances, either when this was in the news or not in the news, to come to his senses. And even if he comes out with a complete apology now, you know, and total reversal and coming across as maybe even genuine, still, he had to be strangled monetarily into doing this. And, we've seen it for years. We know that this guy is a jerk. And I would be embarrassed if I was a Redskins fan to have him as my owner. But he sealed his fate, and I just want to congratulate him on that.
Thanks for the phone call. I mean, yeah, that's a reasonable part of it. Is the question is not about whether or not this is something that's going to change his mind, but whether or not he can be convinced. Those are two separate things. Think about it. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. We'll get to some more calls later. But right now, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite, with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Coming up, probably going to take some more calls on this daggone team name. And you know what? I'm here for it. It's First Take, Your Take. I'm Clinton Yates on ESPN Radio. All right, let's bring this thing home. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, of course, simulcast on ESPN News. My name is Clinton Yates. I'm a columnist at The Undefeated. I also appear on Around the Horn, Now or Never. And every once in a while, I used to sit in on OTL. For those of you who think I'm stupid, I'm not. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear on the show via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You want to tweet me? Take your chances. Reminder, if you come incorrect in my mentions, I will embarrass you in front of your friends and your family, and I will not apologize. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Jeff in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to thank you for taking my call. Always a big fan. And obviously we keep talking about this name change, and I haven't really heard anybody bring this up, but I still think it's going to be all about money. I mean, we're in a time where revenue is in question with fans and whatnot, but how much money does changing a name, changing your colors, changing your uniforms, how much is that going to generate, you know, to kind of try and take back what they're going to lose with the fans? So I know, you know, it's a big thing that he's making this change, but how much of it is it because he sees dollar signs, or is he really, you know, seeing how this is a problem?
I appreciate the phone call. Excellent question. ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick talked about exactly this thing on First Take earlier today.
The one thing that owners in the NFL understand, and I think owners across all the professional sports leagues understand, the language that they understand and that resonates with them is decisions that are bad for business get their attention. Being a racist in the current environment is bad for business. Being associated with teams whose names and whose mascots are associated with racial slurs, that's bad for business. And obviously the investors who have invested in the companies like FedEx, like Nike, and like PepsiCo, that represents $620 billion worth of assets. I mean, just think about that number. You think they don't have a tremendous amount of power when it comes to going ahead and reaching out to these Fortune 500 companies and saying, hey, look, tell them to change it. We have $620 billion worth of assets invested in these companies. They have the power to affect change. And that is something that resonates with people like Dan Snyder.
Frank in Colorado, you're on First Take, your take. What you got?
Great. I'll give a contrarian opinion here, and here's why. I grew up out west, Colorado, around five different tribes. And in fact, my first wife was partial Native American. And I can tell you the word redskin is not a slur that anybody uses toward our American, Native American friend. It's not. See, I could rattle off 15 horrible names that you hear when you grow up around tribal communities, and none of them is the word redskin. It's almost like it's a fake icon name, and I think the team in Washington, they're getting a bad rap and a lot of heat over something that has never meant to be a negative slur, ever.
Thank you for the phone call. I'm glad you have the privilege of ignoring every single thing that's happened regarding what we've talked about earlier. Lucky you. 1-888-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Ken in Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes, I kind of agree with the caller before you, and I agree that the Native Americans' plight needs to be addressed. But the word redskin, when this debacle arose several years ago, the Native American community was polled, and by more than a two-thirds majority, they said it wasn't a problem for them. So let's address the issue of the Native Americans and get away from this nonsense, this social activism of saying that the redskins is a bad thing. What are you going to do about the Cleveland Indians or the Florida State Seminoles or the thousands of high school and college teams across the country that have names that have to do with the Native Americans?
You know what you're going to do? Thanks to the phone call, you can change those too. And don't ask me about polls. Have they polled all the thousands, millions of people who were massacred across the history of this country so that people could just set up shop wherever they wanted? They poll them? They poll all the people that forced Native American populations into remote physical isolation in this nation? Those people polled? It ain't about a poll, man. It's about what we know is right and wrong. Just take a look at what happens around you. If you're arguing this hard to defend something that this many people have a problem with, you should probably take a look at why. And the answer will most likely not be the greater good. Now, who determines the greater good? That's what we have this nation for, to figure that out. But right now, the fate and the legacy of a garbage football franchise that one Daniel M. Snyder has run directly into the ground ever since he first owned it, sorry, not a priority for me. And I was born and raised in the city where he wants that team to play. I'm a fan. Personally, I think you should get rid of it. It just doesn't make sense in 2020, after everything we've seen, for this to go on. It's a bad money move. It's a horribly bad PR move, look. And you know, if you believe in that weird thing called karma, which I don't necessarily know that I do, might actually change the fate of the actual squad on the field.